It's that time again on a Friday when AM Live presents another update from the coalface with Martin Creamer, publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. Martin, welcome. Now, the Department of Science and Technology looking into bringing back South Africa's space rocket launching capability.
Yes, you know, we used to have a space rocket launching capability at the Overberg in the Cape, but when we signed as a country the non-proliferation treaty, the nuclear non-proliferation treaty, we mothballed that because it was intended for military use, for weapons use. Now, Science and Technology Minister Naledi Pandor says, look, we don't need to use it for military use, but let's have a look at it, see whether we can demothball or see whether we can get back to having this capability, because as we know, we've got our own satellite in space. That satellite was designed and manufactured in South Africa, and the state owns it. And there was a business case for that, because instead of paying for the images at the rate of about 60 million rand a year, this imagery is now done by ourselves at a much lower cost. So they're looking for a business case now to see where there's also a possibility of demothballing what was a capability here, rocket launching. A lot of people look at it with skepticism because, you know, it's going to be very, very expensive. But if there is a business case there, I see no harm in looking at it, and the minister is doing that.
Now, something new and very exciting, it appears, is the air traffic tracking system. And South Africa, one of the first countries in the world to introduce this new state-of-the-art tracking system at its airports.
That's right. So we have our Tambo in Johannesburg and Cape Town International Airport now with a multi-lateration radio tracking system, which means it can track the position, the height, the speed, the direction of aircraft. And it's also a part of an upgrade that we're doing in South Africa, and possibly has regional implications, because in theory, you could actually track aircraft movement in the whole of sub-Saharan Africa from one center using this technology. It's so advanced. The only sticking point is that many countries in Africa, they use that aviation revenue to put into the general coffers, so they see it as a revenue stream, and you know that would have to be replaced. But in our region here, the Southern African Development Community is actually looking seriously at creating a regional hub where you actually get the tracking and the positioning of all the aircraft in a regional sky space, and it can be controlled from one center, which can lower your cost and increase your safety. And we see that safety already is, Africa is no longer the most unsafe airspace in the world as it used to be. It is uplifting itself. And with technology like this multi-lateration, it's seen as something that can actually lower costs and increase safety.
Just as a matter of interest, does this mean that at least over the South African airspace, that through this technology, you can tell how many aircraft are out there in the airspace and the heights and so on?
Well, what they do is over 51 square meter area, they put up four antenna, and over that footprint, they can check on the position, the height, the speed, direction of all aircraft. So, of course, if they go regional, there would probably be other implications.
The South African Army embarking on a program of bridge building in the poor areas of the Eastern Cape?
Yes, it's all about South Africa being a developmental state. You know, the Minister of Defence, Lindiwe Sisulu, has said we must introduce this concept of a developmental state even into the Army. So if you've got a situation where that the Army does have of a corps of engineers, why not use them when there are far-flung areas that need bridges, for instance? And they've started with this idea of a tactical bridge in Zumi in near Queensland, in the Eastern Cape, where they can come in and they can put in this hand-assembled bridge, you know, in a week. And that means a lot to the local people, because there's been a tradition in the area of this river swelling during the rain periods. People can't get to school, they can't get to clinics. Now they're able to go over this bridge, and a substantial bridge. I mean, they can take the military army trucks and everything. So it's perfect for these regional areas, and it's making use of existing resources that we have that usually have to be combat ready, of course. And that is why this has been the sticking point in the past. Now we've seen them go in, build this bridge, and it happens in other countries. I mean, Brazil are very active. Their engineer corps, part of their army, the Brazilian army is six times bigger than ours in terms of permanent force, but they actually go in and they build permanent bridges and they compete against the private sector. We don't have to do that here, but there's a lot of opportunity. And of course, the Defence Force Corps, Engineers Corps, will be remunerated for their time and the resources that they put in. I don't know whether they're going to make a profit at this stage. The jury's still out on that, but it's all part of the Minister of Defence, Lindiwe Sisulu, saying, you know, this developmental state concept must be migrated all the way into the Defence Force.
And of course, giving the Defence Force some a practice run of sorts in the process. Thanks very much, Martin Creamer, for sharing with us this very exciting news and stories. Martin Creamer, publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. He will be back at the Coalface at the same time next Friday.